Welcome to Marooned at MacBytes headquarters.
Day 200.
Yay! Why am I sounding so cheerful about this, Mike?
I don't know.
Well, we reached a point, didn't we, that every day was a day closer to freedom. But that's long gone.
True.
Hello, everybody. How is everybody? Let me know how you are getting on while I find my way into the chat and shut up the other thing that I have got going on in the background. So, who have we got in the chat? Oh, I'm on my downloads page. And I need to refresh. I'm sure Jonathan's there. See, Mike was first in tonight. Jonathan, that's fabulous. Can we see a picky? Have we got a picky yet? Are you all dressed up? Jonathan's murder mystery has been pushed back to 7:30. Do we not have a corpse yet, Jonathan? Is that the thing? Oh, hello, Kim. Oh, Kim's just had a first flu shot. Never partaken of one of those. Mind you, you know me. I've not been to the doctor since 1992. Oh, I leave her alone. She leaves me alone. Works well. She gets paid and I get peace. Oh, your arm gets sore with it. Oh no, this isn't sounding good at all. I had most of my shots when I was a baby, including stuff that I should have had when I was older. And it meant when I got to the age, which I think was 13 or 14, I think we called it your BCG. It was definitely, was it? No, not polio. Can't remember. The lung condition. Anyway, I'd already had it. And my mum said, well, don't go. You know, when they call you out, don't go. Because you've already had it. You don't want to have it twice. And so I said to the teacher, no, I'm not going. I've already had it. And she sent me anyway. And I remember we had these belts on at school. Well, let me know if you had them. Obviously, the girls, not the guys. They were kind of elasticated. And at the front, they had like a clip with three dots on it that clipped into the other side, which had like the receptacle for the three dots. Anyway, point of the belt was it had a pocket in it, a zipped pocket. And Mum used to make sure I had money for the phone. It was 10 pence back then for a phone call. And she made sure I had like a pound in 10 pence pieces in this belt. So on the way to the medical room where I shouldn't have been going because I was excused from this thing, I stopped and made a call to my mother. She then rang the school. It was all sorted. Took about 2 seconds. I remember that well. And then I didn't have to have it and everybody else did. And some went, it was the one where there was a circle and you got like 6 pinpricks in your arm with it. And if they came up, I think, you didn't then need the next one. It was a booster thing. Anyway, Mum said no. And when Mum said no, that was that. She would take me to our doctor. She trusted our doctor more than she trusted the school, which given that they wanted to give it me twice, I totally agree with her. Oh, happy days. Not. So I hope it's not sore, unless it's a good sign that it's sore, like it was with this one, which was just weird. But there you go. Oh, Jonathan's going to get ready. He wanted to say hello. Well, not only, of course, is it day 200. Second. It's Lola's gotcha day. Oh, she's been spoilt rotten. There was a little bit of a snafu with an order yesterday of 112 treat sticks. I know that's excessive, but that's the size they sell them in. And it went missing. Anyway, they managed to get it here today on her gotcha day. So we've had the grand unveiling of the treats. She was rather pleased. And she's had ice cream. She does like her ice cream. And she has had quite sufficient ice cream and a grooming. That could have gone better. She likes lying down and letting you sort of stroke her. But once the brush is out, no, that's a step too far. Anyway, she needs it. Oh, is she blowing? Big style. Still no fence panels, so she still can't venture into the back garden. But she's off on a jolly tonight, enjoying herself. So I think she's out in the garden at the moment with Mike, enjoying herself. Right. The doctor cornered you. Yeah, mine knows better than to try that. Fast way to lose patience, that. And I'm a very, very cost-efficient patient. She gets money, doesn't spend a penny on me. Works well. You remember the belt, but it didn't have a pocket. Oh, it had to have a pocket. That was the key thing with it. Mine was blue. I remember it well. And, you know, I did wear it for ages, and it was under my jumper just because of this phone money. You weren't supposed to take that much money to school, but Mum said that's ridiculous because you're riding a bike to school and from school. And she wanted it that if there was ever a problem, that I could just go to a phone box and make a phone call. She said, you can't do that. I've got no money with you. Just don't tell them that you've got it. Very practical, my mother. Very, very practical. And that's what it was used for as well. You didn't have that one. It was I'm sure it's a BCG. Let's have a look. BCG vaccine. I'm trying to remember what it was for. TB, I think. Let's have a look. Tuberculosis vaccine. I don't know what the C's in aid of. But yes, a BCG was a TB vaccine. And I think we got it aged about 12 to 13. But some people apparently have a natural immunity. And that's why they gave you this first thing. And the first thing was, it was like a machine rather than just an injection. Big thing, absolutely frightening. I mean, people were fainting just looking at it. It was bad. But, you know, I'd already had it. A distant relative had TB. So when I was a baby, they had to try and work out how they were going to inoculate a child in case the child caught it. So they had to wait until I was probably about 6 months old. And we'd already had the incident with the penicillin, so they couldn't give me that. So they had to be very, very careful when they gave it to me because they didn't know if I was going to be wildly allergic to it. But that's why Mum wanted my own doctor to deal with it, because she trusted him. He was such a good doctor. You would walk in and he'd look at you and like come close maybe to like sound your chest and then say, can I smell your breath? And he would. And then he'd say, right, I know exactly what's wrong with you. And you're like, what? He was amazing. Absolutely amazing. Best doctor I have ever come across. He was totally amazing. So Mum trusted him and the inoculation worked. And later on, when it was tested to see, you know, is it still active? Yes, it was. And considering I was like 6 months, that was amazing. But he said, under no circumstances have it again, because it would be a system overload. She's already, you know, sorted with it. So Mum felt at that point she trusted him and that I didn't need this almighty machine drilling into my arm with these 6 to 8 things on it just to see if you were immune, because she said you already are. I've got a certificate to say you are, so definitely not needed. Love it. Can't believe it's been a year already. I know, it's just amazing. Last night was a year ago on the 30th of September. It was when she rang us at 2 minutes notice and said, can you look after Lola? And we said, yeah. And she came round and she looked really overwhelmed. And it was on the 30th that she said, could you take her? And then she said, don't tell me now, don't tell me now. I think she was really concerned that, you know, we wouldn't be able to, or we wouldn't want to, or whatever. And so last night we were like, oh, do you remember a year ago? You know, that's when we knew that she was coming to us. But it was actually on the 1st when the lady came round and I remember Mike texting her and saying, yeah, sure, come round. And she said, do you need, no, you might need more time. I can leave it till tomorrow. And I said, she's petrified. Because the thing was, if they couldn't look after her anymore, then she would have to have gone for rehoming and she would never have seen her again. And she, you know, she loves the dog to pieces. The whole family love the dog to pieces. It's just their lifestyle, you know, doesn't accommodate Lola full time. But she's going off to see them tonight. So I said to Mike, don't mention it's a gotcha day. Because, you know, that's good news for us, but it will bring back sad memories for them. I said, so forget it's a gotcha day. Don't worry about it. But yeah, she's been a happy dog. She's had her ice cream. She's destroyed a toy. So she's very happy about that. She managed to bite Mike's finger last night. So that was a triumph for her. And this ice cream, if you've never had ice cream with Schmacko in it, You need to try it. She thought it was fantastic. And then she had one of her big dentistic things. But a year, it's just... And I remember on the first, we were 12 days away from going to York. And Mike was like, I wonder if the hotel... And I was thinking, don't be ridiculous. You know, posh hotel like that, not going to happen. And I was already saying, well, I'll stay here and you go. You know, I'll stay with her. And they took dogs. So off we went. Within 12 days, we were heading off on our first holiday with her. Oh, fantastic. She sounds like she's having a jolly good time.
She is.
A jolly good time.
She is.
Did you have a BCG vaccine?
Yeah.
Was it the one with the circle of... Did you collapse?
No. No, but this girl cried and she got it on a sugar lump.
Now, you see, why would you be going around stabbing everybody else if there was another way to do it? Absolutely ridiculous. The only girl I remember... Well, a lot's cried about that, but the one I remember crying at school, tell me if this happened to you. A schmacko. Yes, a schmacko. I'll get the link. It was in biology. We had to dissect an eyeball. So we were put in groups of four, I think.
Kim wants to know what a schmacko is.
I'm finding it.
Oh.
Schmacko,
it's a dog treat.
It's a dog treat. I'm trying to remember how you spell it now. Let's have a look. See if it can find it. A schmacko. There they are. A schmacko. But in terms of the big box. A mega box. Daddy, I didn't know there was a mega box. Why haven't I got a mega box of treats? They're like strips of...
they're called cow's eyes.
Oh. Oh, are they? Right, let's get
That's
that up there.
That's what Kim says.
Oh, Johnny. Let's see, Johnny is the vicar. A career change potentially there, Jonathan. Mind you'd have to change more than that to be a vicar, wouldn't you? Are there any Jewish vicars? Why not? Oh, Jonathan!
That's brilliant.
That is fabulous. That is amazing. Look at the wig.
Oh, is that a wig? I thought it was his real hair. You've seen my hair.
That is genius. Oh, Jonathan, that's going to be the picture of the 200th show. Never mind the schmackos. Paul, dogs go wacko for schmacko. Oh, she does. She does. Are they cow's eyes? Never heard
it's
of cow's
eyes.
It's
not a wig.
It's not a wig. It's a wig.
He's gussed himself with talcum powder.
You've not. Oh, it looks amazing. Do you know what else you could do next time? A judge... That hair. Thought it was a wig.
You've got some serious grovelling to do now.
I've got some serious... Do you remember that bit on Strictly last year? There was this bit on Strictly. I don't know if you know Anton Dubek. He's got a great sense of humour. He really has. And he did this Austin Powers dance with whoever his partner was. And Craig Revel-Hallward, at the end of it, was saying, like, you know, it's a bit OTT, blah, 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 blah. And he said, and as for the teeth, and Anton looked really hurt and he said, they're my own. And Craig was absolutely mortified. whether that's your own hair or not, Jonathan, you look amazing. I would never have thought of putting the talc in it. Genius. Total genius. picture of the entire 200 shows, to be honest. Cutting cow's eyes out. Yes, it was a cow's eye that we had. That's right. So we got put in groups of four, and it was me and a girl, I guess, that was my best friend, and then two other mates. So we all sat together usually, and we got to do this thing together. Well, one of them was the one who got an A in everything. The one when we went to France couldn't speak a flaming word of French, could not order a cake, but she got A for everything. My best friend was not quite as bad as the other one, but she was a little bit squeamish with it. Didn't really want to look at it. And the other one, who was called Jane, oh my God, she was heaving on the floor. She had to be taken out. She couldn't even look at it. So that left three of us and an eyeball. We had to dissect it. Guess who got lumbered with that job? The only capable one. So the thing with it was, we had this, Kim will know exactly what it's called. I would not know what it was called, but it was an implement that was like a dart, basically, but obviously not with the feathers on the end. So it, you use that to kind of pin the eyeball to the chopping board where you then took the scalpel to it. Oh, my God. If I never do it again, it'll be too soon. But at least I managed to do it. I took the approach of, you know, I'm not going to be one of the few groups that sat here with an undissected eyeball. So having determined Jane couldn't possibly do it and that Becky was also heaving slightly. And my mate, who was called Hazel, no, wasn't happening. So there was just me and the scalpel and the eyeball. Oh, it was vile. Trying to pin it down was the worst bit. It was so slippy and oh no. So I think that put me off biology for life at that point. Do you know, Jonathan, that photo is going to make another appearance, I feel. Can we put that on the slides for what happened in the week, Jonathan? Because it's absolutely fabulous. Do you know, if you turned up at church, you'd be saying mass. Is that good? Oh, frogs. Luckily, we got away with the frogs. The eyeball thing turned out so badly. Thank you, Jonathan. That's amazing. Love it. Love it, love it. The frogs were not an option. The frogs were not an option. That was bad, bad, bad news. We were threatened with a frog, but it never happened, thankfully. The sciences weren't really where I excelled. I was actually pretty good at science, but it was the way it was done. In our first 2 years in the UK, when you are 11 and 12, we have science as a combined subject. So we don't differentiate between biology, chemistry and physics. It's combined sciences, or we just called ours science. Then when you reach, hang on, you're 11, 12, 14, you split up into three. So you get 1 year when you're 13, no, 14, when you do chemistry, physics and biology. And then the 2 years that are left on your education after that, when you are 15 and 16, you get to choose whether you take all three or just one or two. Taking none is not an option.
Enjoy, Johnny.
Enjoy yourself, Jonathan. You should definitely win the prize for putting the most effort in. Absolutely. You're going to hope you're the murderer. I hope you're not the victim. Do not tell us you're the victim. We can't wait to hear about it, Jonathan. What a fabulous, fabulous way to start the 200th show. Tracy thinks she'd have staged a protest against vivisection, trying to force us into killing a frog. Oh, I wouldn't have killed a frog. No way. No way would that have happened. I just felt that you were like, you've been split up into groups, you know. It was all girls, thankfully. Oh, could you imagine that at boys' school? Or a mixed school. I just felt like, you know, you didn't want to be the ones that say, like, no, the eyeball's there and we've not dissected it. But no, I mean, I doubt that would happen now. I doubt that would happen these days, would it? Oh, dear. Yeah, so when it came to the end of the middle year, which would be, you've got 5 years at high school here. So at the end of year three, when you are 14, you make a decision then. Well, physics wasn't an option because the guy who taught us physics was the one who hated women, if you remember. So he said that nobody was fit to carry on, which meant he got sacked. That's a bit ridiculous, isn't it, if you think about it? Why would you say no one was fit to carry on to do O-level physics? And then they said, right, fine, when we don't need you then. Shows you how bad he was. Absolutely. Which left chemistry and biology. And somehow I ended up doing both. Yeah. But I didn't like them. I didn't like them as subjects. I don't think they were taught properly. I remember with biology really struggling because everything, they didn't put anything in context. I remember we had this diagram of a leaf. You know when they give you a diagram and it's a section of something, like a cross section of something. I got this diagram and the idea was you needed to memorise it and that's what they would test you on. So I could see this diagram and I could draw the pieces on and put the names to it. The photosynthesis effect and all of that stuff. But they never actually gave you the context of which part of the leaf this diagram was of. And I struggled because then it became, oh, Simon, last one in. Simon. Go up the chat and find the picture of Jonathan. Sit back and enjoy. He's gone to his murder mystery night and he looks amazing.
Shall I repost the link?
Repost the link.
Save you going up the chat.
Can you imagine how much biology, chemistry and physics I've had? Exactly. No, they didn't give it enough context and I struggled because then it became a case of memorising it and not actually understanding it. And I wanted to understand it. I really did. But they just didn't give you enough context. And half the time you were copying down diagrams from the board. And if you'd made a mistake, that mistake rippled through because it was never corrected. The textbooks were useless. They didn't even have the diagram in them. So when it came time for our mock exams, so you take your mock exams in the October, November of the year before you leave, or the year that you are able to leave. So you would take your finals in June, but the previous year in October, November, you would take your mock exams. Now, what happened to the kids this year? That were supposed to take their exams in June and they didn't take them. They used the mock results, which is a bit harsh because obviously your mock results don't really count for anything unless there's a global pandemic, and then it does. So I was coming up to my mock exams and the issue was, this was when they determined if you did the O-level or the CSE. CSE meant you were kind of stupid. That was the one I was taking in French, where I was totally stupid.
I took
stupid.
CSE, so I must be stupid.
No, that's what they said, wasn't it? But I mean, it was a load of horse manure. So I figured, I was looking at the subjects and I thought, you've no chance with French, so don't even bother. But I was thinking the dicey ones are chemistry and biology. So I thought, what to do? So chemistry, they wouldn't put me in for the CSE because there was a practical bit and I was forever blowing the lab up. So I got away with that one nicely. You'll have to do the O-level. We dare not let you loose with a test tube and a Bunsen burner. Which suited me. And I passed. So if they'd put me in for the lower one, what was the point of that? But that left biology. So exactly, Simon. He doesn't he look totally amazing? That's it, Kim. I can memorise a certain amount, but if there's no comprehension, there's no point, as far as I'm concerned. So because my mum had already decided the school dinners were absolute farce, she'd given me permission to go home for lunch, and I'm air quoting here, because it was too far to go home for lunch. What she said was, go get whatever you like, I'll give you the money. So go wherever you like and get whatever you like, right? Just be careful. So I did. So 2 weeks before the exam, I rides into the local town centre from school, which was probably about a mile. And I would park my bike outside WH Smith's, which was a shop. It was like a newsagent that sold books and records as well. And I would go into this shop and I would head my way over to the books, the revision books at the back. And there was a Let's Revise biology book. Did you ever have any Let's Revision?
Yeah.
The ones with the little people on the front, very yeah. big, A4. I already had the maths one. Mind you, I was fabulous at maths, so don't know why I bothered with that book. And I think I had a couple of others, but the biology one I did not have. And I did not want to tell my mum that's the point. Good teachers helped. Yeah, if I'd have had good teachers, but they were shocking. I had a fabulous teacher in English. I had a fabulous teacher in maths. And it does. It makes all the difference in the world. But these were shocking teachers. So I headed my way to the bookshelves at the back. And there was a Let's Revise Biology book there. It had a pink cover, bright pink cover, and then the little stick people on the front. And I would stand there for 35 minutes a day trying to work my way through this book. I did not have enough money to buy this book. And I didn't want to say to my mum that I needed it because I knew she didn't have that much money either. And she'd already bought me other things, you know, that I needed. So I just thought it's not fair because I know what she would do. She would do without food for herself. So I thought that's not happening. So I didn't tell her. I just went in every day. And obviously I couldn't write anything. All I could do was read it. But it clicked as I was reading it. I thought, OK, so that's what I'm looking at. So it's a cross-section from this part and not a cross-section from that bit. Then I realised, like, the diagram they'd drawn wasn't quite right. And it was way before taking photographs of pages. So I literally had to try and understand it to commit it to memory. And that was what I did. So about 10 days into this thing, in practice, it was probably nearer the 2 weeks. I probably had about 5 days to go before the biology exam. So over the weekend, this was a Monday at this stage, I've got 5 days more to look at this book. Anyway, somehow Mum was saying, what are you working on? And I said, you know, we've got maths on this day and chemistry on that day and biology on that day. And she said, how are you doing with the biology? And she caught me off guard. And I was like, So she said, what's going on? So I said, well, you know, teacher's not great. Notes I've got, absolutely useless. I said, but it's okay, you know, that there's this book. And I explained, I said, it's a lecture revised book. And she said, you haven't got the biology one. And I said, no, I haven't. I said, but Smiths have. I said, so I've been reading it at lunchtime. Well, she was like, why didn't you say? And I said, well, you know, I've read it now. It's fine. It's fine. You know, it's not a problem, not a problem. So this was Monday. So I goes out, I gets there lunchtime on Monday, heads off into Smiths again, book's gone. And I thought, oh no, somebody's bought it, because they only had one copy. And I thought, well, that actually makes sense if you think about it. The exam's 5 days away. Everybody in the area is sitting that exam. Somebody has gone in and bought it ready to prep for Friday, which left me without book. So I thought, well, I'll just have to do the best I can. You know, I'm not going to have that extra 5 days. I'm just going to have to do the best I can. So I headed back to school. So we did finish the lessons for that day and then headed off home. Got home, and I always had my dinner before my dad, because what was dad like if you were eating? Mm. Unbelievable, like a child. So I had my dinner early with my mum. So I sat down, I got in, got changed, and she said, let's have dinner. So I gets downstairs, and in my place, instead of a plate, there's a brown parcel. So I said, is this yours? And she said, no, it's yours. And I opened it. It was a biology book. She got out and bought it that morning. And I'm like, oh my God! So when the grand day came, I was actually quite confident with the biology. And what was going to happen was, talk about embarrassing. I mean, this is like brain shaming, isn't it? Is what it'd be called now. You were in the hall with everybody else. So there was a good 150 people, 150 students, and they were going to read a list out. And the list that they were reading out was the list of people who were not going to take the advanced exam. So basically you were listening and it was an alphabetical order. And I thought, can you imagine if your name was like Victor at the bottom? Oh, 150 names potentially they were going to read out. But obviously the ones they were reading out were the ones who didn't pass the exam. So I'm sitting there and, you know, I'm sure you at school, if they go through the list alphabetically, you know where you are in that list. You know who is before you and you know who is immediately after you. And I thought, as long as we get to Alison Goodman, I'm fine. Although she would probably pass. But you know what I mean. So they start reading this list out. And they get to the one before me and her name was Elaine. So he said Elaine and I thought, oh God, I've failed. And then he said Dickman. And I thought, thank God. And I thought, well, you know, if he says Elaine again, that's it. I'm done. And he scooted past and he read, like, you know, Julie Smith. And I thought, oh, well, the ones who didn't need to sit there and then have another lecture and be told off got to leave. And I couldn't believe I was actually standing up and leaving the room. And I remember to this day exactly how I felt, exactly where I was going. And I literally was like skipping and dancing and jumping out of the front door of the school down to the newsagents. I was so happy. So, yeah, 10 days in W.A. Smith's revising and the last 5 at home when Mum had bought me the book. She's amazing. See, you had great biology teachers. I wish I had. The first one we had was shocking, really bad. And they didn't get any better as they went along. I mean, it wouldn't happen these days, I don't think, because I've talked about this with Mike. And a lot of the so-called education that we got back then was copying things off the board. Well, they'd just give you a handout now and then you'd actually talk about it, like a flipped classroom. But back then, it was so basic, and the teachers were like, I wouldn't even say a page ahead of you, maybe half a page, but they just weren't that great in terms of teaching people. So you pretty much did have to do all of it by yourself. And I was doing that. I think French was the one that just had to drop off the end. I'm sorry, but there was just no way I could catch up with that. But my maths I taught myself. My teacher in the middle year, this year three thing, which is really important. Our third year at high school is important, isn't it? Because it determines what you do for your GCSEs. Yeah. After that, your school leaving exams. And I've got this maths teacher who broke her hip or a thigh bone. She was off for 9 months and we had no maths teacher. We didn't have a replacement. So for 9 months, every time we had a maths lesson, we were just on our own. It was shocking. I mean, again, that would not happen these days. But we had no teacher with us at all. We didn't even have, like, the cooking teacher with us. We had nobody with us. And I was trying to, like, work through the book. And virtually everybody else, in fact, I don't think there was anybody else in that group, and there was 30 students, that actually got into the O-level stream at the end of that year. Because they sat the exam and they didn't know anything. At least I taught myself. And that was when that was what was so funny. They were looking at me like, how has this happened? Because you were stupid to start with. Because I started in year two. I didn't have a year one at that school on those syllabuses. And it was like, how have you done this? Because you have not had a maths teacher for a year. And neither has the other 29, and they've all failed. So how did you pass? And I just used to leave the class and go into the toilet and work through my maths book in the toilet for some peace. It's absolutely shocking. And I hope it wouldn't happen today. But it did mean that I was okay with maths. So I was okay with maths and chemistry and biology in the end. History, commerce. What else did we study, Mike?
General studies.
Not at O-level, I didn't.
French, German, I did French, German, chemistry, physics, geography, I did CSE, one of the thickos, as you said.
That was me in French.
Mind you, I've not turned out too bad, have I?
No, that's the point.
Yeah.
What was funny the other day, I said to Mike something about A-levels, and I said, what A-levels did you do? Now, you know what you're like when you're at school and your entire world revolves around the next test, the next exam, your O-level, your A-level. And he turned around and he said, oh, I did, was it German, general studies and history? And then he said, and another, but I can't remember what. And I thought, you've reached maturity when you can't remember what your A-levels were.
French. Yeah, I did French.
Oh, you did French and German?
No, not for A-level. I didn't do German.
French history?
French history and one other.
General
economics.
Oh, you did economics. I did that. That was one of the ones I did.
Yeah.
What's general studies? Total waste of time.
Kid. Yeah.
It's basically a mixed exam. So it would have some French on it. It would have some English comprehension on it. It would have a bit of maths on it. Probably would have something a bit arty on it. Not much in the way of science. The idea of it is that some students, according to the teachers, because I don't believe it, but according to the teachers, not intelligent enough to take three full subjects. So there were some students who were doing chemistry and physics and not a third A-level. So they would put them into the general studies class, because if they didn't, they didn't have enough hours at school. So you had to do 22 hours. So they just shoved you in general studies. And it was things like, there was a bit of economics on it, wasn't there?
Mm.
And business things. But it was a really just a mishmash.
I can't even remember what was on it.
I remember there was French on it because I didn't bother. It was a French comprehension in mine. And what I did, when I turned the page over and it was the French comprehension, I kind of cast my eyes over the paragraph you were supposed to read. Clocked a few words like, oh, that's bicycle and that's pen. And thought, looked at the questions and thought, yeah, fine. Eeny, meeny, miny, mo, finished the French, turned over, maths. And just settled down and did the maths bit. There was no point. There was no point wasting time. Because obviously, with it being comprehension, it isn't enough to say I recognise the word bicycle, is it? It'll be something, the question will be something unrelated to the fact it's a bicycle. So I didn't bother.
I'll see you later.
See you later. You're going to your meeting.
Yes. Right, text me.
About what?
The thing that he sent
me. Oh, right, I will. I will.
Give me something to do whilst I'm in.
Okay, I could export that now, couldn't I? Oh, I've been very tardy with an email that needs to go out. Mike's just reminded me. I said I'll do it in the show, and then obviously I'm yakking away to you guys. And I'm not doing it in the show, am I? Okay, the mail that you are going to receive, if you are on my list, all about DevonThink, it's fabulous, is being exported right now. In fact, I think I have actually just exported it. What I need to do, have I ever shown you how I send a mail? How we do the export from Scrivener and then the import into Notion, and then magic happens, and then Mike does something with it. Have we ever done that? Because I've just created 25 more mails for the Advent thing. They look amazing. Talk about ahead of myself. 3 months ahead of myself. Which doesn't explain why I'm 2 days behind with this mail, does it? Right, there we go. DevonThink mail. Right, I just need to go and find it and then get it in here. If I haven't shown you that, let me know. No, it's a folder for mails, mail folder. That's what I'm looking for. And then I can put that in there and get it to you. It might even arrive, depending on what Mike's up to. This isn't one of his meetings. This is one of somebody else's meetings. Oh, here we go. Issue to start with. Mike's going to be checking the links, but the image isn't showing. There's always one, isn't there? So if I haven't done that, let me know and I will share it. Paul remembers an after hours with it. Oh, okay then. Maybe I've done it. I have no recollection of doing that. I could certainly share the Advent thing. Because one, I know Kim loves it. And two, I've never been this organised. So I might as well make the most of it and show off. Good grief, it's organised. It's scary. The image that I'm working with, there we go, DevonThink series, I upload to Amazon S3, where we keep that kind of stuff. And I swear I made it public the other day. But all the services at the moment seem to be having a bit of an issue making things public, that it takes 2 or 3 attempts. I've also got an app on my Mac, and my Mac is even though I've done the Catalina thing, it's not calmed it down in any kind of way. My Mac is just insane. It's going mental. So I've got a shortcut key. I have to press 3 times, and it's predictable. You know, it happens regularly. I have to press the same shortcut key three times to make it work. And I'm looking at it thinking, upon what basis do you always decide to work, you know, the third time? Well, this is hairy scary. It's still not there, and I've already made it public. So I can't send that at all until I can find out what is wrong with the mail. That's not good. Oh, I know what's wrong with it. I'm a Muppet. There you go. You heard it from the horse's mouth. The horse is a Muppet. Yeah, I've put it on the MacBytes thing. That won't help because it needs to go on the other one. Okay, desktop folder, yes, do that. Yes, do that as well. And that. Anything else you'd like to do? No, good. Okay, so I need to get this on S3 in my bucket, which is there. And hopefully if there's a folder that's called Newsletter Assets, I can put it in there. And that way you will get this at some point before I die. All right, let's drag and drop that in. Still have to make it public though. There you go. I don't think I did the whole system. I think I did the export from Scrivener. I don't think I did the bit in Notion because I've changed it. In fact, we have a whole new dashboard in Notion for managing the Brooklyn shows. Because whereas before, Mike mainly dealt with the content on Brooklyn's, but once I got involved with the music side, then we needed a way to track that. So I said to Mike, do you mind if I redesign this dashboard? And when I had, he said, no, I don't mind, as long as I can find stuff. I'm like, oh, you need to find stuff. But once I'd done it, he was like, wow. So I know you've not seen that because that only happened 2 weeks ago, something like that. Oh, I tell you what did happen with that. Oh, this was so funny. You'll love this. You know this course that I'm on? It was the last official session at 2 o'clock this morning. But what they've done is they've squeezed another 6 sessions in that are extra sessions between now and Tuesday. So now I'm busier than I was last week. But this was the last official session. So what had happened over the course of it was, you know, these breakout rooms that we go into. Let me know in the chat when you're in a webinar. Have you ever been invited to go into a breakout room with random people that you don't know? Basically, random people you don't know and expected to like conversate, because we were, and I don't find that easy. How valuable it is to you really does depend on who you get put with. And as I say, it's random. And sometimes it didn't end well, as you well know. There was the time I was in there with 4 guys and got totally ignored. Same happened the day later. But other times it's been really good. Well, this was so funny. I'm in this session. And this guy says, can you share your system? And he said he'd got an embryonic system. So I said, yeah, sure. So I was sharing part of the Notion system. And the bit that I was showing was how we put the shows together, which I think we have shared with you guys. So I got it up and he's like showing it. And he was so funny. I could see him on the video and his mouth dropped open. And he said, I thought I had an embryonic system, but now I've seen yours, I don't have a system. Which he thought was just so funny. Anyway, he said to the guy who was in charge of the whole session, you really do need to get Elaine to demonstrate her system. So I said, yeah, I don't mind doing that. So the following week, this guy had approached me and I'd arranged to do, I think it was about 15 minutes, something like that, just showing him how we put After Hours together and Matt Bites together. And people started asking questions and asking more questions and asking more questions. So I started demonstrating more and more. Ended up this 15-minute session, there were that many questions and comments. It ran to 50 minutes. Anyway, I'm very, very quiet when I'm in the sessions because I'm concentrating. I'm making notes. I'm not just making notes. I'm trying to make connections between new information that's coming in the session and information I already know about. So I'm busy and I don't really have time to play in the chat. But if somebody DMs me in the chat, you know, obviously I'll try and reply. So I got this DM last night. Now, I was expecting it to be from one of the people that I'd actually done some talking with. It was this lady and everybody was thanking everybody who'd been doing the course. And she put this DM to me and thanked me. And I felt like, I've hardly contributed. You know, yes, I did that live session and yes, I took questions after and all the rest of it. But it was just such a lovely, lovely comment. So the course is actually being a really good experience, which I thought might be over today, but it's not. It's going to be Tuesday, by which time I'm going to be in a heap on the floor with everything I've got to do all at the same time. Right, let's see if the newsletter is now working, because if the newsletter is now working, then I can tell Mike it's ready to send. Hold on to your hats. Oh, got a graphic. Fabulous. I can send that out right now. So who subscribed to the list? Who will get it if I tell Mike it's ready? Right, there we go. It's ready to send. And he said he wanted me to send him a text to let him know it's ready to send. So let's do that. Right. Mail ready to go. Right. Let's see how long that takes. I don't think I'm subscribed to my own list, so I won't know when it's gone. I tell you what, let me know if the links are okay and when you've sent it. There we go. You're seeing really behind the scenes here. This is how it's run. He taught us to write scientific papers that I used all the way through residency and my master's. Brilliant. I wish somebody had done that. I really do. That's why, you know, these people, let me know if you're like me or more normal, because I'm not normal. You know, all these reunions, you remember Friends Reunited? There's a blast from the past. All these reunions and people saying like, I'll give you an example of when it comes to my mind. We've got a school about a mile up the road and it's a high school. A high school in our area is like one of the lowest schools you can go to. In terms of, we have grammar schools and we have, you know, private grammar schools beyond that. So the people who get to go to this particular school are probably the ones who are less academically gifted, but more sports gifted. So Manchester United have got into bed with this school, figuratively, obviously, and provided the most amazing sports facilities for them. And they've actually had three players who went to this school who have now signed for Manchester United. I think one of them, don't quote me, might be Marcus Rashford. I'm not sure. I can't remember. Mike would know, obviously. So these schools are, in this case, you know, less academic, shall we say. Oh, has he mentioned? Has he sent that mail yet? No, he hasn't. He hasn't, bless him. So when they talk to these guys who are now Manchester United players, they've always got the most amazing things to say about their school. How supportive the staff were and how this and that, everything was perfect. And I listen and I think, my memories of school are, without exception, bad. From my primary school, aged 5 to 9, I was fine. Loved it. Absolutely loved it. Had friends. It was a great, I mean, it wasn't a rich area. It was, if you know the UK, you may have heard of Whalley Range. It's not a good area. We didn't live there, but my mum wanted me to go to this school because she thought the school was very good. And she was right. But it did mean like a 3-mile walk to school and back every day. But she was right. It was a very good school. But it wasn't a wealthy area, but people were lovely. I have good memories of that school and the teachers. But when I moved and I went to this other primary school and then the grammar school and then college, I loathed all of them. And I really feel like, you know, when people say, oh, in together school reunion, school days, happiest days of my life. I'm like, really? Because it wasn't for me. I hated them. So I don't tend to have a good thing to say about going back. What about you guys? Do you do the reunion thing? Did you have a happy time at school? Do you have fond memories to look back on? Mine, not fond at all. But I appreciate the good teachers because the things that they taught you, you remember. I had the most amazing teacher at college. So I was, hello, Mrs. Simon. I was 17 and I did the law O level and I wanted to do the law A level. And I wanted to do it because I wanted to see if it was for me at degree level. And there weren't enough people wanted to do it. There was one. That was me. So there were no classes. So I couldn't do it. But knowing that I really did want to do it, the law teacher that I'd had in first year, which was my O-level year, and I came out with an A in that, so I was his favourite student. He said to me, are you really committed to doing this? And I said, yes. But, you know, there's nobody else wants to do it. So he said, I will teach you myself during my lunch hour. And that was what he did. And I thought that was just so generous. And the day that I graduated, came out of University of London with a law degree. What on earth is going on here? I sent him the photo of my graduation photo and he had it pride of place on his wall. I don't think he'd ever actually managed to get this A level on because nobody wanted to do it. He was such an amazing man. But so few of them. You know, the majority of the teachers were like dialing it in. Right, so Tracy, the only time at school I loved it was secondary school. My tutor was head of French and supported me far beyond her purview. That's exactly it. Those are the teachers that make the difference. You know, they should be celebrated, not the ones that are dialing it in. I mean, half the time they couldn't even bother to do the basics. Honestly, it's shocking. Anthony had a maths teacher like that. I had a good maths teacher. He found out I needed a certain grade in maths to get into college, gave me extra tuition during his lunch hour. Oh, she cried. Oh, my English teacher did that. I didn't really need it with maths. I had a very good maths teacher my first year at this grammar school. I was put into a class because there was a space in it, not because it was the right class for me. Because as I said, I had had 12 months where I had not done the same syllabus. So I was, that you could say I was behind. I was behind in terms of what they'd done, but there were things I had done that they had not. It's just unfortunate it didn't marry up in terms of syllabus. So I got moved out of her class, because that was the top class. And that was when I got into this class, and we didn't have a teacher for a year. So I ended up teaching myself in the toilet. There's a claim to fame. What do you remember from your school days? Teaching myself maths in the toilet. And the reason I was in the toilet to do it was, it was the only place you could get peace and quiet for the hour that everybody else was just throwing paper aeroplanes at people. I remember them throwing paper aeroplanes at people. And then when they'd land, they'd pick them up and scrunch them up into a ball and then throw them back. And that was our maths lessons for a year. So that was why I was headed off to the toilet. But the English teacher was amazing. She was a new teacher when we were in fourth year, which is when you are 15. And she got the dunces. She got the bottom group. And she took every lunch hour. So she had 30 students and she split them up into like five groups of six. And every lunch hour she would teach six people. And she'd literally like grab a mouthful of food and the rest of her lunch hour was teaching us. But you know what? Every single person in her class passed the O-level. Every single one. And every single student in the top class, I think there was maybe two or three, might have got a grade. Everybody else failed it. Which shows you the teacher does make an immense difference. These people that were in this other class were the creme de la creme when they were 14. But by the time they were 16, after 2 years with this teacher, I think 27 out of 30 failed the exam. It was so bad, there was an inquiry into what had gone on. And they all had to resit because they couldn't go on to their A-levels without their O-level. The majority of them, because they were the top stream anyway, wanted to stay on at school. And that gave them the opportunity to resit this exam. But if, like me, you'd already got a place at college, and you had failed that exam, you would have lost your place at college. So they covered that one up, believe me, only by getting them to resit it. And do you know which teacher took them through for the resits? Mine. Because she was the only one that could get people through an exam. Oh, you went to a big standard comprehensive. I never did a big comprehensive thing. The one I went to was grammar school, the first one. But, oh, it was big. It was massive. I think it was about 1,800 students. It was crazy, crazy big. Nothing wrong with a comprehensive. We had one up the road. They consolidated the girls' grammar with the boys' grammar and then did away with this comprehensive. Something secondary high, I think it was called. And it had not the best reputation. But when you talk to people who had gone from there to college, they only had good things to say about it. So this grammar business and all the rest of it, I guess it's snob value to say, well, I went to a grammar school, but it doesn't actually mean much in terms of when you're 25 and you're actually doing a job. So I don't know about that. I did find it personally, when I wanted to work and other people didn't, I felt like they should have done because they were at a grammar school. You know, but they were, it was just two different schools. It was ridiculous. Not that much difference between them. Certainly not in the quality of the teaching, I can assure you. No, nothing wrong with those at all. Bog standard. bog standard, not big standard. Right, with you. Yeah, we did have, well, actually, we're a bit weird here. We still have grammar schools. We are one of two counties in the entire country that have grammar schools. I wish I could remember which one the other one was. You went to one of the worst schools in the country. But, you know, it's what you do with it. And it doesn't mean just because, you know, the figures are bad, that it's a bad school. You may have fantastic, happy memories of school, which I don't, grammar school or not. I loathed it. I absolutely loathed all 4 years there. Could not get out fast enough. And when they keep sending me things about come back for a reunion, you must be flaming kidding. Didn't want to be there the first time. I'm certainly not going back. But what they seem to want is like they must have some kind of committee because it's for money now. But this is actually what they're doing. You'll love this. They are checking out previous students on socials. And if there's any of them that are like, you know, worth bothering with in terms of they've made it big or they've got a social media presence or something. So obviously, you know, you look at mine, two radio stations, podcast, YouTube channel. Then they contact you and say, would you like to go back and give a talk to the students about how inspiring it was being at that school? And I thought, you have got to be kidding. I mean, I actually have thought at times, and I've said to Mike, should I say yes and then get there and tell it as it is? And he went, please don't, you'll be arrested. Just tell the kids it doesn't matter. What happens at school does not matter. It's what happens in life that matters. And that some of the teachers are good and some are bad. Most of them were bad as far as I was concerned. I'd love to do that. But no, they contact people. I mean, if they find you on social and, you know, you're a happily married mother of six kids, they're not bothered. They don't want you to go back and give a talk then. But you could be blissfully happy. That doesn't count for anything to them. So I just ignore them. I don't even bother saying no. I just ignore them. There were some very good teachers. There are a lot of people there who did not want to learn but mess about. Oh, I had that. You learnt more when you went to college and university. So did I, but the college part of it, don't know if it was the same for you, Anthony, but the college part was I only had to be there 22 hours, which was a lot less than at school. So I could teach myself, and I did. And I got much further doing that. Now, my university, it was a private college. So you were paying through the nose to be there. And I felt at that point, I kept feeling every year from being about six, next year people won't mess about in class because we'll have to get serious, and they won't mess about. And they did. And they carried on like that until I left school. And I thought, right, when I get to college, people won't be messing about. They won't be messing about because they don't have to be here. They can leave and get a job or do whatever they want. They don't have to be here doing these subjects. So they won't be messing about. And guess what? They were messing about. And I thought, it'll be different when I get to university. And then I thought, you know what? It probably won't. So by then, I'd like given up the idea it would ever be anything different. So I started at university and got there on the day. And the best, there was a couple of lecturers who were just amazing. And they could only do Saturday because they were practicing barristers and they worked during the week. So I skewed all my classes to work around these. I was then picking by lecturer rather than subject. And I skewed all my timings so I could go to these things at the weekend. And they were attended by the students who were like the full-timers like me, who were there during the week, but also some people who were taking extra tuition from other places. And two of my friends worked at the Old Bailey, which is the Central Criminal Court in London, biggest criminal court in the country. You've doubtless have seen it, massive dome, Statue of Justice on the top. And the other one worked at the Central Family Court, and they were working all week, and they were taking law exams outside office hours. One of them had a wife, two kids, you know, I think he just had another baby as well. And you were thinking, how do you fit everything in? Because to get to London for a sort of 8:30 start during the week, you're pretty much leaving home at 5:30. And then he was doing extra legal work in the evening to keep up with the course. That was the first time I felt, that's it. Now, there is nobody here who's messing about. And that was a function of the price. It was so expensive. No one was wasting the opportunity except this one guy. And we called him the Prince. He was the son of the king of somewhere or other, some island in the Caribbean somewhere. So we called him the Prince. And he was there because his dad wanted him to get an education. He did not give two hoots. But his father would ask for, because he was paying the bills, he would ask for attendance records. So he'd turn up and he'd sleep on the back row. He would literally just lie down on the back row across like five chairs, and you'd hear him snoring at the back. And we just left him to it. You know, none of the lecturers ever said anything because, like, his father was the king of wherever. So you just left him to it. And he'd amble in, you know, about 20 minutes into it and just say, morning, and up to the back and just go to sleep. He was a He was a lovely guy, but, you know, he wasn't really cut out for the law. But he was the only one. And, you know, you just laughed at him because he was such a lovely guy. It's just the law wasn't really for him. And I remember saying, like, what are you going to do when it comes to the exams? And he said, I'll worry about that when it comes to the exams, because he'd done no work at all. But everybody else, there was no messing about anymore. And you were talking about things that were... legal things that were in the news. So at the time in the UK, it was the time of the Birmingham Six, the Guildford Four, when all the appeals were happening. And the law was changing literally every day. So everybody would come in clutching a copy of the Times, because at the back of the Times every day, you get the law reports in the tiniest print you can imagine. And we were all trying to keep up with the very, very latest. And that was what talk was about. Not like these days where pretty much have you seen the Kardashians and Hello, which I can't be doing with. Wasn't it Eleanor Roosevelt that said something about feeble minds talk about people? Can't remember the full quote, but the gist of it was, and the best minds discuss issues or something like that. Lovely quote. And that's what I felt with school. Exactly what I felt with school. But yeah, there are some good teachers out there, and they, you know, the teachers deserve better support. They deserve better too. Has he sent that mail yet? Can anybody tell me if he's sent that mail yet? Or has he come back to me and said, there's spelling mistakes in this and this link's wrong? Because we have a right set to about that. That says it's been sent, but that was the last one. That's not the next one. Oh, well. I'm sure he'll let me know. And I'm sure you'll let me know. If it pitches up while we're on, let me know. 200 days. Tell me one memory in the chat. Give me one memory of those 200 days that makes you smile. We won't do the ones that make you cry, because yeah, Boris is about again. Give me one memory. No mail yet, Kim. It's on its way. It's on its way. I have told him to let me know when he sent it, but he's probably trying to get everybody in their meeting at the moment. It is on its way, Kim, and there'll be another one later with what's happening tomorrow. But at the moment, I wanted to get that one out of the door. Lady pipes. So that's a good one. That's a good one. How on earth did we get on to lady pipes? I've no idea. This is what happens with MacBites. Something becomes a meme. And when you think back to how it started, you have no memory at all. But I remember that night, we were just laughing, and I was incredulous. The bit that got me most with the lady pipes, apart from the kayak, everybody was asking about it, if it worked in a kayak. The thing that got me was the video. The video just left me totally speechless. And I remember Simon caught up with us a couple of days later, and I don't think he'd seen the video. And I sent him the link to the video, and he was just coming back with, OMG, lady pipes. Absolutely fabulous. Come on, what about everybody else? What's your abiding memory? Something that makes you smile? Let me think. Well, Jonathan's picture tonight is going to go down as in MacBites history as a classic. Never seen anybody look more like a vicar. The glasses, the hair, and then the smile, everything. That is just fantastic. Squeezy balls. Did we do squeezy balls? How on earth did we get on to squeezy balls? Oh, the stuff we talk about. What was on the other night? White panda poo. Oh, the clap for carers. Yeah, that was good. They've not brought that back yet. They were supposed to be thinking seriously about having it once a year. But at the moment, the tone has changed in this country. It was related to the lady pipes. Everything comes from the lady pipes. I know how we got onto lady pipes. It was when I was saying there was a photograph outside Old Trafford on a match day, and there was like a TARDIS thing outside somebody's house in full view, potentially, of children. And it was like pipes. The military use it, apparently, in the States. There was a film, George Clooney, Three Kings, and it's like, well, I know they call it the head, but this was like pipes in the ground. So it was all right for the guys, had no idea how the ladies were supposed to use it. Hence, we got talking about lady pipes. Yeah, the clap for carers thing, maybe once a year, but the tone has changed here. What has happened is Boris has backbenchers. If you don't know what a backbencher is, it's an MP who has been voted in to represent a constituency that doesn't have a government position. So they're called backbenchers because they literally physically sit on the back benches of the House of Commons, which is the one with the green seats. If you see what looks like Parliament in the UK and the seats are green, that's the House of Commons. If the seats are a burgundy red colour, that's the House of Lords. You will also see, if you are looking at the House of Lords, worth keeping your eye out for, the woolsack. And the woolsack sits in the middle of the House of Lords. And I forget now who actually sits on it. I think it could be Master of the Rolls. But interesting to watch. If you ever see that on the news and it's red, look for the woolsack in the middle. It does look like a little square bench thing of some description. And it's the woolsack. So they sit on the back benches and they tend to be a thorn in the side of whoever is Prime Minister. Now, there's two lots of backbenchers. There is the backbenchers that belong to Boris's party, and there's the backbenchers who belong to other parties. Well, the ones that are kicking it off at the moment, how could the backbenchers not have a position? Well, I mean a position as a Minister of State or something like that. So they're not in the cabinet. So actually, I don't know in America if you have anything equivalent. Yes, you do. You have secretaries of state, don't you? Well, in this country, we too would have secretaries of state. People with a role. So we would have the foreign secretary. We would have the education secretary, the health secretary. And they are ministers of state and they get together with Boris in a cabinet. So they have the COBRA meetings we have. That stands for Cabinet Office Briefing Room. And it's room A, hence COBRA. Well, it's those people, but there are MPs who don't have an official role within the cabinet or anything like that. And they tend to be a thorn in Boris's backside, just because they can. And what they're doing at the moment, which I find criminal, is they're saying we don't want any more restrictions. We want to vote on it and then vote against the restrictions. And I'm thinking, this is people's lives you're playing with. And I can't understand why they're doing it when people's lives are involved. Like a point scoring exercise against Boris. I'm not saying what Boris is doing is right. I'm not actually sure what Boris is doing. But he's saying we need to pull together. And we do need to pull together and think of each other and think, you know, OK, if I went out, maybe it wouldn't affect me that badly. Maybe it would. I don't know. But it's not safe out there, so I'm not going out. And, you know, you need to think about that. All these students that went out on mad raves and now they're all holed up at university. But these backbenchers are sabre rattling and causing dissent. So now on top of all, everything that else that's going on, we now have dissent in the government ranks. MPs are elected. They are elected representatives of your constituency. And all of them are available for a position in the cabinet should they be offered a position in the cabinet. But there's far too many MPs and not enough positions in the cabinet. And it's just kind of a colloquial term for meaning they are part of that party, but they don't have an official standing position. So they are backbenchers and they sit on the backbenches and they heckle. Is the cabinet elected? Members of the cabinet are elected in terms of being elected as an MP, but they are not elected to the roles that they actually have. They are handpicked by the Prime Minister. They do have the opportunity to resign or to reject whatever he offers them. So we've had people, for instance, it used to be we had a Secretary of State for Northern Ireland. That was a poison chalice. And people did turn down that role. Other people have resigned. So we did have a Chancellor. And what on earth, who was he? Oh, before Rishi. I can see his face, can't remember his name. But he took it on with Boris and he resigned about February time. And it was something to do with Brexit. And that was when Rishi Sunak got the job as Chancellor of the Exchequer. So he was an elected MP, but it was Boris that said, do you want the Chancellor's job? And Rishi said yes. So there is no extra voting to get in there. So your cabinet's appointed by the President. This is sounding like ours. but they're not elected at all. Ah, well, the majority of ours are. There have been, over the years, a couple of exceptions to that. One was Peter Mandelson, a spin doctor extraordinaire. He wasn't an MP at the time, but he had a very high role. Trying to think of some others. There have been people who have been given a cabinet role and they are not MPs, but it's frowned upon. It's considered to be an abuse of power, really, that all the members of the cabinet should actually have some kind of parliamentary responsibility by being an MP as well. But it's not unheard of. A couple of times we've had somebody in the House of Lords where they're not usually part of the cabinet, but in this circumstance they have been, but not often. Not often. So, yes, the clap for carers. I can't see that coming back anytime soon, but it was lovely. It was lovely to see the neighbours out and everybody pulling together. That's why I feel at the beginning of all this debacle, we should have been locked down for like 12 weeks. And then I don't think we would be where we are. But he didn't have the what do they say in the States? Is it cojones for that? Tracy will correct me. Pronunciation apologies. In hand. So it's been a good ride, hasn't it? Right, I'm going to ask the question now. So I want a yes or a no in the chat. Do you think we'll make it to 200? Should I concentrate on 300 first? Because the way it's going, it's not going well. It's not going well. Let's have a look at Firefox and let's get the news up. Pandas are on standby, don't panic. Right, let's have a look. Let's see how bad it is at the moment. Oh, Firefox has crashed yet again. Tell you what, Firefox does not like Catalina. Not at all does it like Catalina. It's on a crash fest at least three times a day at the moment. Good job Vivaldi's a bit more stable, isn't it? Right, let's have a look. Let's try again and see if we can see what mischief they are up to. No, I don't want to see that. I want to see that's what I want. Let's go there and have a look. One eye open. COVID positive MP suspended over visiting Parliament. You couldn't make this up. You could not make this up. SNP, so that's the Scottish Nationalist Party, Margaret Ferrier had the party whip withdrawn after she admitted travelling to and from Westminster. While she is COVID positive. There are no words. No words at all. So that's she's travelling the length of the country. I wonder how she got there. Shouldn't she be fined like the £10,000 or whatever? This is ridiculous. Took the train. So she didn't even drive. She took the train to get back to Westminster. Unbelievable. Oh, I didn't hear that, Anthony. They're thinking of making March the 23rd a National Day of Mourning. I think they should. I mean, there's that many died now. It's obscene. If they resign their cabinet position, do they become backbenchers? Yes, they do, automatically. Because all a backbencher is an elected MP without portfolio. So, yes, absolutely. I'm assuming you know what the party whip is. While I'm talking about the party whip, you may have completely different visions in your mind. The party whip is the, it's usually a person. Well, actually, it's an office. They're the parliamentary whip, but it does have an office. Each party has one. And they are basically the ones who keep the MPs in line, shall we say. So the party whip is when you are supposed to align yourself with the party and the party's values. And if you have the whip withdrawn, it's like them saying you're not a member of the party anymore. So when it says she's had the parliamentary whip withdrawn, it means the parliament, that her party, the SNP, the Scottish National Party, have disowned her, which is all very well, but that actually means very little. It doesn't mean that she's not an MP anymore. She still is. She wants absolutely lining up against a wall, trust me. So what else have we got? We got no more figures today. This is alarming. We've got PPE stuff. Surely we've got figures. There's more. All the towns around us now, extending into Liverpool, have gone on extra lockdown measures. So Liverpool, Warrington, Hartlepool and Middlesbrough. How many parties do you all have? We have the main parties, which would be Labour, the Conservatives and the Liberal Democrats. Then we have other parties that have very, very few MPs, if any. So we would have maybe one or two Green Party members. There are some parties in Northern Ireland that don't exist anywhere else. So the UDP, the Democratic Party, the Union Democratic, whatever. I think it's the UDP. They actually, during the last parliament, supported the Tories, which kept them in power. They didn't actually have an overall majority, so they got into bed with them. Who else have we got? We have some Welsh parties that are only in Wales. So there is Clyde Cymru and possibly a couple of others. And the big one in Scotland is the Scottish National Party. So it's quite strange because we have different countries and they're sending people potentially to Parliament. Yay, just got an email. Mike's just sent me a text and said he sent it. Yay, emails out there. I've pulled everything together. There is a blog post there with all of the details, but the email's like the basics of this was what we did. So I thought I would pull it all together. The links that are in there aren't just links to the show. They're actually links to bang on the right time in the show. So you can use that as an index to get to the content. So it's hard to say party wise. We also have like things like the Brexit Party, the Monster Raving Loony Party, not even joking, and some independents. Oh, Anthony's found the stats. 6,914. Oh dear. God, that's shocking. I think 59 is a terrible number of deaths. And I think if we were looking at those figures in isolation, like predicted 6 months ago, we'd think 59 was appalling. And the only reason that we're kind of laid back about, oh, it's 59, is because we were up to, you know, 500, 600, 700 deaths a day. Doesn't mean we're not going to get back there, but I'm glad you like that, Kim. That's fantastic. I hope it proves useful. Either bookmark the blog post or keep hold of that. And that's your index to it all. Sure, we'll be revisiting it. I'm pondering Project 13 at the moment, getting down to the details now of the decisions that we make now are going to mean that this happens or it doesn't. So I've got to make sure I'm making the right decisions right now. And you do have a lot of options when it comes to managing text and graphics. And it's not how best or easy it is to organise it now. It's like how easy will where you put it make it to use it when we come to pulling it all together. And I'm in two minds at the moment. So I'm going to have to... I said to Mike, what I actually need to do is sit and play around with it. You know, just punt around with it for a couple of hours. And I haven't got the time. So I'm trying to, you know, shortcut that by thinking it through rather than actually playing with it. But I know I'm going to have to just find time from somewhere. But seeing as though I got to bed at 8:30 this morning and I was up again for a session at noon, not today. And I managed to make an email. It's a miracle. Nothing short of a miracle. Well, I hope you have enjoyed day 200. Enjoys, obviously, enjoy the show rather than the reason that we are here. Let's just carry on and forget the COVID thing. Put the pandas on and everything will be fine. That's my take on it at the moment. But hey, I remember at the beginning we talked about 20 shows being like, whoa, never happen. And it did. And I remember I've got a great quote from Paul in Ohio where he put in this quote, I could do with 6 months of marooned. Well, here with 6 months of marooned. Don't know how we've done it every single day. Talk about consistency. Never thought it was possible. But hey, that's one of the good things to come out of it. But absolutely the best thing to come out of it is the friendships that we have with you guys. It's amazing. We wouldn't have it any other way. So cheers to 200. And here's to the next, let's say 100 at the moment, which will be sometime in December when we'll celebrate Christmas. Oh, Christmas is going to be amazing because we'll be in the middle of the Advent thing that I've actually already organised. You know, when you do something and you're organised and you think, whoa, and then you start looking around thinking, what shall I do next? Because I'm so organised. Now, when I say organised with those mails, I have the frameworks there. Obviously, I don't have all of the freebies because what's free now might not be free then. But I will keep my eye out for things that may be perennially free. And then think about what we're going to put in it. But, hey, the framework's there, so that's a step in the right direction. There have been years where the one for the 11th is going out on the 12th, and I haven't even written that yet. But this year, I'm hoping for better. So you've got to hold me to it. You love the Advent mails. Good, good. That was just something we started. I think it was 2012. And we did it for a couple of years with some stuff that we'd done. So we had recordings for sale, and we took each one. They were like, I think, £40 or £50. And they put down to £5. So that was how it started. And then we started adding freebies into it. And I remember we were still doing the videos in 2014 because it fell apart in the middle of November with Mum. And that was when I remember sitting down and writing a mail in my Filofax on paper. I couldn't even be coping with a laptop at that stage or an iPad. And I said to Mike, just look over that. And if it's OK, send it. And it was the one that was saying, like, we're struggling. And people were so kind. It was amazing. So, yeah, I've got happy memories of the Advent thing. So we'll definitely, the Advent thing will definitely be happening. Absolutely, it will. Right. Well, for the moment, though, we'll draw show 200 to a close. Thank you very much for being with us for all these days. And more to come. Hey, more to come. 201 tomorrow. But for the moment, it is good night from me, and I will say good night from Mike. We will both see you next time. Stay safe, guys.